I'm Scott Clapson here on KCIW. This show is Perspectives in Healthcare, and we are here today with Kathy Adams and Laura Porter from ACE Interface. How are you today?
Great.
Great. Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. Yes. Thanks for being here. We're so excited. So you all work with ACE Interface, right? And you're not from the Brookings Harbor area. So do you want to tell us like where you're from and what you all are doing here in our community?
Sure. So I'm from Bellingham, Washington, and work with ACE Interface, which is a small company that takes the biology of early childhood experiences and connects those to lifelong health and well-being outcomes. And we work with communities around self-healing because we believe that communities have the power to heal together.
And I'm Laura Porter. I'm one of the founders of ACE Interface, and the other founder of ACE Interface is Dr. Robert Anda. Dr. Anda was the co-principal investigator of the Adverse Childhood Experience Study, which is the largest public health discovery of our time. So it's really an honor to work with him. And we combine that study with our interest in community change and community well-being and the agency of people in communities to produce their own health and their own self-healing.
Collective wisdom of our communities. We've been talking a lot about that on our Perspectives in Healthcare podcast. So this is very, very timely. We're very excited to have you both here. So Laura, you just mentioned
Dr. Robert Anda
and ACE's study. For our listeners, would you tell us about the study and what that is?
The Adverse Childhood Experience Study is a study about population health. It was a partnership between Kaiser Permanente in San Diego and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention in Atlanta, Georgia. And there was a doctor at Kaiser Permanente named Dr. Vincent Folletti, who was quite successful with his prevention programs, but he began to notice that many people that had success with preventing health problems then fell back into their old health habits, and they lost sort of the gains that they'd been working on. And he began to interview them. And in his interviews, he found this pattern of them having had difficult childhoods. He went to the CDC, and he met Dr. Robert Anda, who had been working there at the CDC on heart disease prevention, and had noticed that risks for heart disease are not random in the population. He'd been curious about what might be driving those risks. They got together and decided to test a hypothesis that perhaps adversity during childhood was driving social and emotional and biological development during childhood, and that was driving risk for disease and disability and early death. So they created the largest public health study of its kind. Over 17,000 people participated. They were all members of Kaiser Permanente Health Plan in San Diego, and answered typical health survey questions and also told about their childhood. And they found that adversity during childhood is quite common in the population in all socioeconomic groups, and that adversity during childhood is the most powerful driver of adult health that is known today. So ACEs, Adverse Childhood Experience, or ACE, ACEs for short, are the most powerful determinant of health. So that's the brief summary of the ACE study. I should probably tell you which kinds of adversity that they studied. They studied 10 kinds of adversity that occur inside of a household. They studied three kinds of abuse, physical abuse, sexual abuse, and emotional abuse. And they studied two kinds of neglect, physical neglect and emotional neglect. And then five indicators of household dysfunction that create stress for children as they're growing up. And in just a minute, I can tell you why that stress word matters here. They studied to the extent to which you had a household member that was incarcerated while you were growing up, if you had a drug-addicted family member in your household, if you witnessed violence against mom, if you had a mentally ill, depressed, or suicidal person in your home, and parental discord as indicated by separation or divorce, those five indicators of household functioning. And the reason that those indicators might matter is that when children are stressed for long periods of time, their bodies respond, as do ours, with stress-related hormones, chemicals. And those chemicals actually shape the development of our brains. They change the size of our brain mass. They change the functioning of brain regions. And that actually prepares us for the life we're going to have to live in. So if we grew up in a really dangerous life, our brains go through this fairly miraculous process of preparing us to be hypervigilant and hyperresponsive, to be very quick to respond to danger, which helps us survive as a species, but can kind of get in the way of social interactions when we get older. And maybe even more importantly, that high level of cortisol, a stress hormone, actually produces changes in the way our immune system works and our aging processes work, so that high levels of stress during childhood are associated with high risk for heart disease, diabetes, asthma, depression, memory problems, and on and on and on. So as we age in our life, many of the challenges we face are really actually have their origins in the adverse childhood experiences that we had when we were young.
Wow, that's really amazing that they're finding so many connections. The more I learn, the more I'm impacted, right? How it really is, what happens to us when we're young really does carry through our lives.
Yes. And interestingly, I think it's interesting to note that adversity during childhood inside of our household, it creates this biological adaptation. So I might become more hypervigilant. I might be more sensitive to stress, where a small amount of stress feels like a crisis to me. I might be have more challenges with social interactions, and we could go on and on and on. But what happens is that if I adapt in those ways, which are normal adaptations to trauma and stress during development, I go out into the world and I'm just me. And I go out as an innocent child into the world having adapted. And many of our systems in our world don't respond very positively to me if I'm hypervigilant, if I have difficulty with relationships, etc. So we end up with this dance between adaptation to trauma and adversity, and then society's response to that adaptation can make matters worse. And there's one reason that we believe that community can be a powerful factor in healing, that the community's response to people as they grow and develop and experience their life can be a healing response. Mm-hmm. Communities have tremendous power to promote health and well-being in their own populations.
And as we talked about last night at the great meeting at the library, the Self-Healing Communities Dialogue, everybody's doing the best they can,
yes,
right? And that really impacted me last night, kind of this reframing of some of these cultural myths that we have that, you know, maybe people just don't know how to parent, or, you know, all of these kids are having these behavioral problems because of X, Y, and Z. When I was listening to this TED talk with Nadine Burke this morning and was really impacted that she was working in public health and she was noticing that all these kids that were coming to them had all of these behavioral problems and all of them had ADHD, and she began to talk to all of them and noticed the common thread through all of them was that they had all experienced early childhood trauma. And so this idea of they had just developed behaviors to adapt to their environment, right? But in the outside world, outside of their home, it was seen as, oh, this child has a behavioral problem, ADHD, when really that wasn't what was going on at all. It was more that these children had just learned how to adapt to their environment.
That's correct. And what we're seeing is that those adaptations, if we understand them, if we understand behavior as the language of adaptation, right, when human beings are doing the best they can and then they essentially through their behaviors are communicating with society in a difficult way, we can ask ourselves, instead of what's wrong with that person, we ask ourselves, what happened in your life? And it opens up the space for a much more compassionate way of working with people. And it also opens up the space for us all to get better at self-regulation. And there are simple techniques that have been used for thousands of years by human beings to help us with self-regulation. Things like rhythm, drumming, prayer, meditation, exercise, music. These things that human beings have always used to help us re-regulate after a stressful event are particularly useful for people who have a hard time just automatically calming down after stress. They may need to actually go for a walk in order mm-hmm. to calm back down. So as we learn these techniques, we can do things like notice that our friend is extremely stressed and agitated and say, hey, while we're talking, let's walk.
Mm-hmm.
Simple things matter for healing and well-being. that we can all be partners in that healing process.
Yeah, walking is one of mine, and meditation and yoga are my other two. Bringing myself back to the breath, right? And realizing that I'm not my thoughts and I can choose to breathe. I really liked what you just said about instead of looking at, you see someone and you go, what's wrong with that person, right? And approaching it from a place of compassion and understanding. That's so powerful because I think it's so easy for us. We want to put people into categories. It's just human nature and the way we function with people, but kind of understanding that, you know, there's circumstances and experiences brought us here. And maybe that person's just having a bad day, you know, and maybe we're seeing them in one isolated incident that maybe that's not how they move through their whole life.
Yes. And I think we're quick to assume that every behavior we see is a choice. And the ACE study and associated neuroscience research that's come after the ACE study and explained why ACEs are so powerful, that neuroscience tells us that many of our responses to stress are biology. They're not just simply choice.
Yeah.
And so when we biologically respond to stress in particular ways, then we have to find these biological ways of re-regulating. And so it helps us to say, oh, maybe that person's struggling right in the moment. It's not that they made a bad choice. It's really about they have a different biological response to the stresses in our everyday lives.
You're right, Laura. This is a really big public health discovery.
It is the largest public health discovery, I believe, of all time.
Yeah.
I think it has the most potential for changing the entire trajectory of health. And, you know, what I get excited about is that we're living in the generation that will use this science to change everything that will occur with health that going forward, our children's health, our grandchildren's health, our great-grandchildren's health. We can see profound changes now that we really understand this mechanism for how health is generated throughout the life course and how critical those developmental years are.
And so you've worked really closely with Dr. Anda around sort of helping get the word out about this, right? So you were talking last night that he's been traveling the country for so long talking about this, and we could really use help in sort of changing the dialogue and things and helping get the word out. And so share. So if you already know about this and you're listening and you want to talk to some of your friends and neighbors and share this podcast, that would be really awesome so people can know about this really important study and the impacts it's had.
Yes. And often when I'm doing public presentations for, you know, large groups, I'll tell a story. I won't tell the whole story right now, but the story of Dr. John Snow in the 1850s, Dr. John Snow was the doctor when there was a cholera epidemic that would sweep across London. It was Dr. John Snow who said, these people must be dying something other than the smell in the air. They have to be dying from something else. And he began to actually map the deaths that were occurring when the next cholera epidemic came through the city in 1854. And he noticed all these X's around one pump, the Broad Street pump in London. And so he began to tell people, don't drink that water. It's the water that's associated with people dying. This was before we really understood germ theory. Mm-hmm. It was before there was any acceptance of that. And what I have learned from that story is that in a major public health discovery, the most powerful things we can do to save lives are we tell everyone and we take action in our own sphere of influence, in our own families, in our own neighborhoods, with our own friends. And those are very, very powerful. It would be decades before there were changes to the water infrastructure, over 100 years before we had clean water law. And in fact, we are the agents of change that are most powerful. So the ACE study is only 20 years old. We're still in that period of time where each and every individual here in Curry County in the Brookings area, we hold the power for changing the future of public health. And we're the agents of change, and we do that change by telling everyone and then acting in our own sphere of influence. I don't know, Kathy, you were telling me about a story of a person in a community you worked with that really made that change for her neighborhood. I wonder if you wanted to share that.
Sure. She was seeing and had come to realize the power in social connections. And so she wanted to support that work in some way. And she also has passion for children. and for teaching, although she's not an educator in a school district sense. That's just part of who she is. And so what she had been wanting to try out was to host neighborhood children in her front yard during the summer every week and hold reading sessions with them. But she didn't know if she could do it. And she wanted to also provide snacks for them because she knew that there were a lot of children in her neighborhood who did not have easy access to food. And she wasn't certain that she herself could provide food on a regular basis for the entire summer either. And so she was able to connect with a community organizing nonprofit locally who's worked with Adverse Childhood Experience Study and that body of sciences for a decade. And they were able to supply her with just a small mini grant that supported her to get books that she wanted to read to the children, supported her to provide food for the children during the snack time session. And then at one point, she was concerned that the children weren't going to come because it was raining. And so she'd asked for money to provide a canopy, just a pop-up canopy that she could put in her front yard. And so she was provided with that as well, which they continued to use, not just during the rainy times in Washington, but the sun. When the sun would come out, it would provide shade for them as well. And she would read books to them. I arrived once to participate with her, and she had maps all over. And I asked, what are these maps for? And she was going to be reading pirate stories to the children. And she wanted to talk to them about maps and how the pirates would, you know, find the treasure. And she ended up also talking about pathways in children's lives forward and how reading is important along that pathway for you to excel and move educationally through high school and beyond. And she wanted at the end of the summer to provide books to these children that she'd been reading to throughout the summer. And so she went to local bookstores and they were excited. And the community had heard a lot about the program also, enough so that the local TV station had come and attended a session and done a story on this as well. And so the bookstores were willing to provide the free new books to the children at the end of the summer. And so every child then received their own book to take home at the end of the summer. And she delivered one of the books to an apartment because the child hadn't been able to attend that final session. And she arrived there, and there wasn't much in the apartment, and provided the book to the child and found out that the child didn't have any books of their own. So that was the very first book that the child was receiving. And so she was able to pull those children together through a rhythm of engagement throughout that summertime and help them connect to each other in a socially positive way with a very small amount of funding to support her work. There were other people in the neighborhood who would step forward and help on occasion. It's a great way for other members of the community to get involved, whether they have young children or whether they're of retirement age. To support something like that as a group is easier to do than to take that on as one person.
Mm-hmm. And it's more sustainable.
Yes. Right?
It's more sustainable if we get more people. I'm always telling people with the projects that I work on, the more of us that participate and bring our gifts, we keep talking about that as well here in Brookings Harbor, bringing our gifts to the table so we form a network. So if one of us for some reason has to disengage from the work doesn't fall apart. So kind of sharing the load.
Yes.
Yeah. Absolutely. So Kathy, we've talked a lot with Laura so far in this podcast about her involvement and what she knows about ACEs. Can you tell us about like what you've done besides that story? Like what's your role in this work? And because you didn't work directly, or have you worked with Dr. Anda directly?
Yes.
Okay.
So my role has changed a lot over the years. Okay. I've worked around the ACE study and the company sciences for over a decade. And at times, different roles, a lot in the community and engaging residents around this and building the community's capacity to support healing. I've worked with individual people also. I've worked with parents who are involved with CPS services and explained the study and the sciences to them so that they can have a choice in terms of applying the new science, because I do believe that we all parent the best that we know how to parent at the time we are parents. And like Laura shared earlier, the science has evolved tremendously over the last decade. And now that we have that new information, we have the opportunity to apply that in new ways. And so by providing that information to parents allows them the opportunity to parent differently and apply that.
And to understand themselves differently.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I mean, sometimes when people hear about the ACE study and they understand that people that experience many different kinds of adverse experience categories when they were children do have risks for difficulties with self-regulation, with emotional regulation. They can have risks for chronic disease and mental health challenges in their lives. They realize, oh, parenting might be harder for me because it is harder for me. And they forgive themselves for the difficulties and are much more comfortable than saying, I really want something different for my children. And, you know, we didn't know a generation ago. So we didn't understand the direct linkage between those experiential pathways during development and later health. And now that we know, parents are just sort of like, oh, I get it. I'm the most powerful person in my child's life for delivering health, for preventing heart disease, for preventing cancer, for preventing depression. That's a pretty amazing position to be sitting in. Mm-hmm. And so Kathy's work directly with parents, helping them understand that position that they're in their own children's lives. They just light up. They get so excited and they want to do things differently.
So do you do any work currently in Southern Oregon with any parents? Or is that on the horizon?
We've started to do some work with parents in Southern Oregon. We're getting to work across Jackson, Josephine, and of course Curry counties through support from a couple of CCOs. One is All Care that you're familiar with, and then secondly is Jackson Care Connect. Mm-hmm. And the interest that the parents have expressed so far, because we're wanting to provide support where they're requesting it, and what they're hoping for is to learn how to host parent cafes, which is a structured dialogue format where parents come together and they can focus on an issue of their choosing and engage in a conversation throughout a couple of hours session together.
Cool.
That's parent specific. And then in addition to that, one of the things that the ACE study does is really brings together a lot of different people, parents, retired people, young adults who don't yet have children. And as Laura shared earlier, it does cross all socioeconomic boundaries. And so it really does serve as a catalyst to bring a community together to focus on their healing in a collective way.
Mm-hmm. And just for our listeners, we kind of have a rule that we define our acronyms. So you said CCO. Could you define what a CCO is for us? Or can I define that for our listeners? Yeah?
Sure.
Okay. Thank you. CCO, for those that might not be familiar, is a coordinated care organization. And there are two that help facilitate the Oregon Health Plan in Curry County for low-income or the Medicaid population in Oregon. And that's Western Oregon Advanced Health out of the Coos Bay North Bend area and All Care Health out of the Grants Pass Medford area. And Jackson Care Connect is one of the other coordinated care organizations that serves the Jackson County area. I just wanted to define that for our listeners because there's a lot of acronyms that are happening right now in the healthcare transformation in Oregon. And some people aren't really sure what they all mean. And I'm trying to help sort of demystify that for people in the community. I know it's taken me a long time to learn them all. CCO was one of my favorites. So thank you.
Excellent. Thank you. Yeah.
And we're really grateful for those of you that are listening to Jackson Care Connect and All Care Health for their generous co-sponsoring of this Self-Healing Communities initiative. It's really great work. So is there any plans to bring these parent cafes to Curry County?
Yes, you mentioned the wonderful meeting we had last evening in the library, mm-hmm. and there is interest in this community to bring both parent cafes to this community as well as more of a general cafe, which is modeled after the World Cafe. Mm-hmm. And so we are in the process of making plans to bring those cafes in here and to bring training in So as you mentioned, sustainability is critical. So we want to make certain that there's a group of parents and then community residents that are able to continue to host cafes mm-hmm. here.
Absolutely. And for those people that maybe aren't familiar with the term World Cafe or cafe, it's not like we're coming together and really having coffee. It's more of like a dialogue, right?
It's more of a dialogue, but we can have coffee too if people like that. And we can also have some food to okay. eat as well.
Sure.
It is a dialogue method
okay.
that is used to bring people together in a way that really helps bring collective wisdom into the room. Mm-hmm. And so what we do is we start off in small group sessions and focus on a topic. And there are usually a set of three questions that we follow. And we rotate to different tables for each question. So we're getting to mix different ideas and information that people are bringing into the room and really help increase the collective wisdom that's in the room, because we believe that every community holds the wisdom to solve their own problems. And this is one way to start connecting people and surfacing what that wisdom is and how to put it into action.
Absolutely.
We provided, Kathy primarily provided some training to a group of parents from Jackson County last month, and one of the dads in that group that was learning how to facilitate this cafe process said, well, I'm a bit of an introvert, so I wasn't sure I would really like dialogue. But what I found was that having a formal process that I understood exactly what would happen at the beginning, middle, and end really helped me fully participate. And I was really interested in what other parents had to say, and I had a lot to say. I was surprised myself. So it is an advantage over just like a potluck and you have a conversation mm-hmm. where you have to kind of figure out all the social rules in that mm-hmm. environment. This provides a little more structure and a way of interacting with other people where you get to talk about topics that actually matter to the mm-hmm. people in the room. And you don't stay kind of at that surface level every second. You can bring up issues that you would like to talk with other parents or other residents of Curry County about.
And it sounds very solutions-based, right? Rather than focusing on, I'm thinking last night of the moment where someone, you know, talked about seeing that parent. It's something that came up at our public meeting for All Care that we had out at the Grange. And someone said, same thing. And when I see these parents and I see them yelling at their kids and I don't know what to do. And it was just such a beautiful moment when the other person in the room that's from Del Norte and talked about, you know, we went around and we listened to all these parents that, you know, maybe struggling, that maybe low income, that maybe living in a neighborhood that we term as bad for whatever reason. And she just reframed it for us and said that, you know, all the parents we talked to, they all wanted their kids to learn how to read. They all wanted their kids to have a good, you know, people care, right? And we're under this notion now for whatever reason that people have just kind of given up. And I don't see that. I think some people maybe feel powerless, but there's a lot of people that care. And the more that we can connect those people that care and bring them together, we also talked too about the collective wisdom we have here of having so many retired people or elders that traditionally throughout human history have been sort of that support. And we have that really great resource here in Curry County of all these people that are retired that do want to give back. And how can we access them? So how can we access them? Like, will there be like announcements about this opportunity? Could maybe they contact KCIW if they want to participate? I know we had an email list from last night for the people that attended, but maybe people that are listening, how could they plug into this work? What's the best way?
They can certainly contact the station.
Okay.
That's one way. There's also an website, ACE Interface,
okay,
that they can look to that for additional information as well.
Okay. ACEinterface.com.
ACEinterface.com has a couple of video links if they just wanted to listen to either myself or Dr. Rob and talking about the ACE study and its implications. There's some links to fairly short talks there too if they wanted to just learn more about the science.
Okay.
I'm hoping that you'll be announcing on the station when we have public events for more conversation about this. And we'd love for people just to keep on listening so that mm-hmm. they can hear those announcements and come and participate. We'd love to hear more and learn more from the people of Curry County about what's important here and how we might be able to support people here.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've actually already thought about a follow-up podcast with some of these people that were at the community event last night and doing like little 10-minute segments with them in front of a microphone where they could share about their experience and how they were impacted and how they were moved to action by, because there was a number of people. I mean, you heard it in the room. It didn't come from the two of you or me as the community organizer asking where we go from here. It was a community member that said, so where do we go from here? Mm-hmm. What can we do as a group of people that came together around this issue? And that was really cool. A really cool moment for me to hear that the people that came are invested too, because we know that the three of us are invested because we're already, I mean, you all are doing this work and I'm volunteering to do this work. But knowing that there's other people in the community, so community readiness, right, to address this and come together is really important.
And I was so pleased last night to see all different age groups, men and women, all different age groups, all different perspectives, all equally excited about the potential for really improving health here, which that's always motivates me to come back over and over and over.
So if someone like me, I'm not a parent, but if I wanted to get trained for a World Cafe and say I was a listener, I could contact KCAW and say, hey, I listened to that great podcast about ACEs and I'm interested in learning more about how to lead World Cafes or parent cafes in the community. Then we could find out more maybe in the future about possibly getting trained for something like that for community members.
Definitely so. Okay. Yes. Yes. And then once we do have a training scheduled, then it would be wonderful to have that announced, and people at that time, upon hearing that messaging, would be welcome to become involved in that training as well.
Awesome. Let's use the gathering method, where we just start gathering names every day that they feel like calling in, and then we periodically take that list and invite all those people and get them ready to facilitate, because there's never too many facilitators of discussion and helping people imagine the changes that they want in their lives and in their neighborhoods.
Yeah. Well, because like you said, it doesn't have to even be a group of people getting together. It could be just a couple of people sitting down randomly passing each other in a restaurant or in Fred Meyer and just having a 5-minute conversation about this, you know, and then that impacts all of the people that they know. And then that impacts all, I mean, it's community organizing 101, right? Where we just take, I do a lot of this face-to-face talking to people about what we're passionate about. And we can put up all the flyers we want and we can post all the things that we want on Facebook or social media and have a great website. But it's really that face-to-face few minutes of talking and really sharing the personal stories about how this has impacted. I'm thinking of my dad in particular, who was abandoned when he was 2. And he died a couple of years ago before he was 65. He was getting ready to retire of a severe brain tumor. And my aunts talked to me multiple times about how she's had a number of health problems in her life too. And she was 4 when they were abandoned and their older sister was 6 and creates families and then just leaves like their mom did, because that was what she saw at 6 years old. She saw her mom leave them with an abusive alcoholic father. And we don't realize how that impacts. I mean, my dad lost his life, you know, at 64 and his sister is still dealing with, you don't realize when you're young and you're raising kids, what that being abandoned in a tar paper shack in the state of Washington, ironically, outside of, I think it was Puyallup. Just being abandoned, and how even my aunt, in being in her 70s, how she's still coming to grips with that in her life and how it's affected her in so many different ways and affected her children as well. It's just so fascinating how we don't think about those things that happen to us when we're little and how they sort of carry through in so many different ways that are not just mental health, right?
Right.
It's physical. It's a direct link to physical health.
One thing that I think the ACE study gives us is some common language. As more and more people learn about the findings from the Adverse Childhood Experience Study, and they learn this notion of, well, they studied 10 different kinds, and there's an ACE score in that study where they looked at the accumulation of how many different kinds of ACEs did you experience. So if you experienced all 10 of those kinds, you would have an ACE score of 10, or if you experienced 3, you would have an ACE score of 3. So I myself have an ACE score of 5. Because I know this language about ACEs, I could say to you, I have an ACE score of 5, and we could talk about how adversity affected me, but you don't know which 5. So it creates a common language and a bit of safety around. We can talk about it. Adversity did affect me and my health and my well-being, and I've had to make some adjustments in my life without having everyone to know all my business, right? And so it's a phenomenal tool. And it's also brand new, so it's not a language we would all automatically speak, right? It's a new study. we can invest some time learning it and then have a different quality of conversation mm-hmm. with people we know about our lives. And that creates better social connectedness, and that positive social network around us gets stronger and stronger. And that is how people heal and recovery mm-hmm. Happens. And it's also how we pass fewer ACEs to the next generation. So it's this wonderful cycle. We've talked about sort of breaking the cycle of abuse, but I like to think about making the cycle of self-healing.
Yes. Focus on what we want to create rather than what we're trying to undo, right?
Yeah.
This is a common theme through Perspectives in Healthcare and some of our other podcasts. This idea of focusing on what we don't want brings us more of what we don't want. And by focusing on what we want to create instead helps to create that. We don't create that new thing by focusing on the system that's broken or the things that aren't working. And by focusing on, you know, the things that aren't working, we continue to get more of that rather than focusing on the healing, right? And the opportunities, right? It's so powerful. I'm so happy to have you both here because ACEs has come up in a few of our podcasts, and I've been so wanting to unpack this for community members that maybe don't understand. So would people, if they're curious about what they're, you know, what would they find out on aceinterface.com, or where could they find out where they fall in the ACEs scale?
There's a 10-question and sort of informal tool that's called Finding My ACE Score. If you just Google that, you'll find it. It's on several different websites, and it asks you the 10 different questions about your experience during childhood. We love it if people do that after they've listened to a podcast like this, because we think that ACEs aren't a fun quiz. They're not a diagnostic. They're actually your personal history.
Mm-hmm.
And so when people understand a little bit about the science, and then they learn about their own ACE score, they can make some meaning from that. And so this is a perfect opportunity, if people want to learn about that, to take a look at the questions and reflect on what did happen in my childhood.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
There also are a couple of websites that are essentially social network websites to help people across the country and across the world connect using this science. One of them that is called ACEs Too High, and the other is called ACEs Connection. Both of those websites are places where people post their ideas for what we can do and their ideas about what they're doing and their experience. It's kind of an exciting, even though it's kind of a whirlwind set of websites. There's a lot of people talking about this science.
Mm-hmm.
But if people are excited to learn more, those are another couple places they could look.
Cool. So that was, again, for our listeners, that is ACEs Too High or ACEs Connections.
Yes.
Actually, in my research that I've been doing on Google over the last week or so about this podcast, actually a few weeks, kind of a geek about the podcast, I keep coming up with ACEs Too High in my in my feed. I'm waiting for Facebook to start telling me, you might like these pages. And all of a sudden, ACEs is going to just start popping up in my news feed on Facebook all the time. I hope so. Nadine Burke's TED Talk about ACEs is actually on my Facebook page right now, and I tagged some of the members from the meeting that we had at the library about the self-healing communities initiative at the library, just so people could start, you know, sharing some of these things online, that we could start creating this common language like we talked about at the meeting at the library. And that starts by, you know, sharing some of these things and getting the word out to people mm-hmm. so they can help their friends know about this too.
I would just like to extend an invitation both to youth as well as to people who are working with youth to reach out to us. We definitely want to be engaged with them mm-hmm. and support their work and move forward with them in this journey of self-healing. And we do recognize that the youth today will be the next generation of parents, and that's really critical that they're a part of this as well.
Mm-hmm. How would they, if they're going to reach out to you, how would they reach out to you?
That's a great question. Either through the radio station would be wonderful. And they can also reach out through ACE Interface. I believe that there's an informational email address they could reach through that way as well.
So if you're listening to this podcast and you're a young person, or you have a lot of young people in your life, or maybe even one young person in your life, or know some young people, and you're interested in what we're talking about, you can reach out to KCIW, send us a message, or you can track me, Scott Clapson, the host down in town, or you could reach out to aceinterface.com and send them an inquiry email. Mm-hmm. And if you'd like to get involved, I'm again, thinking of the Youth Advisory Council for the School-Based Health Center. I really want to work with them on, I don't know where they're at in, like, it's summertime. They're probably all busy. But once, you know, school gets back in session, mm-hmm. I'd really love to talk more with Holly Strom from Public Health, who was there last night. And just because she helps to sort of shepherd that group of mm-hmm. young people and really talking with them. Because like I was sharing at the meeting, it's, I think, going to become much more powerfully if we find youth that are passionate about this to talk to other youth because they'll tend to listen to their peers more, right?
That's their sphere of influence.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So sphere of influence is really important.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Thank you for wanting to include youth, Kathy, because that's really, they need to be included in the dialogue here in this county.
Yes. It takes all generations.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And everyone who wants to help is a leader. And that's a really important thing to realize when we're making a public health shift. It's not just about people who have titles or who are mm-hmm. service providers. It's everyone who wants to help in any way as a leader of this mm-hmm. social movement that will really change the health of the future. And we want everyone involved and engaged. And we want everyone telling their friends and neighbors and everyone acting in their own sphere of influence.
Well, it seems to me that we're already changing it. Right. I'm noticing that just in the short time that since I've returned to Brookings and just the impact that we've had about, you know, talking about gardens and talking about collaboration, mm-hmm. people talk with us. Oh, yeah, you all. So, well, 3 years ago, that word wasn't really common here in the Brookings Harbor area. And there's a group of us that have really been using that word collaboration over and over and over again, getting people to think about this idea of I have this idea. And it's my idea, but someone else in the community probably has this idea too. And if we find each other and talk and share the idea, then it's going to grow and expand rather than just continuing to just sit here in front of me and the few people that I know. Because as many people as I know in Brookings Harbor, I don't know everybody in the Brookings Harbor and Curry County area. Mm-hmm. I would like to think I know a lot of them, but there's a lot that I don't know. And so by sort of sharing what I'm involved with, it engages other people to become leaders, right? Mm-hmm. Good leaders don't create followers, they create other leaders, right? And it's really important with a movement like this that those of us without titles feel comfortable too engaging in this work, that we have just as much of a place as someone like the both of you who work alongside Dr. DeAnda and other people that are working on this at a much higher level, that those people that are lay people maybe that maybe don't even have kids, but just care about, you know, their community, want to get involved and want to participate, that everybody matters.
Yes. And people in their everyday lives, in the way they interact with one another in their everyday lives, on this particular issue, that's who matters most.
Mm-hmm.
In many issues, we think about the experts having so much influence and power, but mm-hmm. in terms of preventing adverse childhood experience, it's our everyday interactions that matter most. It's mom, dad, cousins, aunts, uncles, neighbors. That's where the change will actually happen. So it's an exciting time where we're actually sort of turning on its head mm-hmm. Many of the beliefs about where power lies for change. It lies in the agency of every resident here in Brookings, every resident in Curry County.
Yeah, I've got a big giant smile on my face because I talk to people all the time about the Black Panther Party. And I took an amazing class at Portland State where we talked about that and how they focused on the lumpen proletariat, kind of like what I've been doing here in the Brookings Harbor, Curry County area. The first couple years, we focused a lot on people who didn't have housing, who were sleeping in bushes or sleeping in their cars or sleeping on people's sofas. I was in that situation after my dad ended up here before my dad died in that situation. And once he died, I was in that situation again without permanent shelter and kind of starting at that level with the people that are the most disenfranchised and working up. And that is such power in grassroots organizing because you can talk all you want to the people at the top, but that's part of what's broken is the stuff at the top isn't quite always working right. And the real change does come from the bottom, from those people that are really living the experience, right? And like you said, talking with the other people that are living that experience. Mm-hmm. And that's where then, I don't really want to say pressure, but the different perspective, the different lens, like we talked about last night, how do you sort of reframe that mm-hmm. for people? So instead of looking at them and saying, what's wrong with you? Well, what happened to you? And what kinds of experiences are you bringing to the table? Or again, maybe that person's just having a bad day.
Mm-hmm.
And we just happen to see one little snippet of, you know, we all lose our cool sometime, right? We all have that propensity to, you know, things get kind of out of hand and we overreact or something happens. And just being patient with people and just understanding, again, we're all doing the best we can. So as we come to the end of the podcast, this sounds like it's a lot of opportunity, right? And lots of room to grow. And you all are going to be doing quite a bit of work in the Jackson County, Josephine County, and Curry County area with the Self-Healing Communities Initiative. So I'm really excited. So do you ladies have anything else that you'd like to share with our listeners as we move forward? I know the people at the meeting last night were curious what they could do. Do you have any other tips or things that we as a community might be able to engage with?
To me, one of the most important things to know about a community is, what are the questions that you want to pursue? What questions, if you were pursuing them, might take this community into your dream of what it can be? And if we understand the questions, we can pursue answers together. So I'm really curious, you know, how do we surface more of the questions that you'd like to pursue as individuals, as groups of people, and as a community? And we'd just love to hear what they are and to provide any supports we can to pursue those questions.
And what kinds of questions would those be, specifically around ACEs and childhood trauma and this Self-Healing Communities Initiative? Or
They might be. A question I just heard at a meeting that occurred 2 days ago was, if health really comes from our experience during childhood and society's responses can make that worse, then how do we figure out which responses make it better? Or a question like, what does that mean about our professional roles? Do we need to use a different lens and think about professionalism differently? Some really amazing questions come up. And I just love the idea of like a question keeper, like, where can we keep those amazing questions that if we were pursuing them in dialogue or in partnership with one another, we would end up sort of unlocking that future of public health.
Absolutely. I really appreciate you.
Thank
you're a very
you.
Wise woman.
Thank you for this amazing opportunity for us to talk with you and for your podcast. It's just a great resource for the community and really a great model for all communities.
Yeah, I'm hoping so. Kathy.
I would just second that. I do think that questions are the next way forward to frame that forward movement together as a community. And I'm really excited to have the opportunity to get to come to Curry County and work alongside all of its residents. There's so much energy around, including at the last All Care public meeting where there were 50 residents in attendance for that. There's so much energy around this work that I just feel honored to be able to come into this community and work with all of you.
Absolutely. We're pretty honored to have you here, though, as well. When you spoke to the CAC Community Advisory Council a couple meetings ago, I know you made a big impact, and I noticed that they were all sort of on the edge of their seat while you were talking, just very curious, because we've been to presentations and different conferences and trainings with the Community Advisory Council, and we've talked about ACEs, and we've had presentations on ACEs, but there's not been a lot of chance for us to dialogue with each other, mm-hmm. right? And you sort of opened that up for us, mm-hmm. so thank you for opening that, because sometimes it ends up when we're getting trained with the Community Advisory Council and things, and All Care is great, right? I'm totally love them. So when you listen to All Care, please understand I have the utmost respect for all of you. But sometimes PowerPoints and things get a little heavy and it feels like a college class and a lecture rather than when you came. It felt like a dialogue when you came to the Community Advisory Council meeting. And I really appreciate that sort of inclusiveness of like everybody's voice at the table. And we saw mm-hmm. that again at the Self-Healing Communities Dialogue at the library as well, just that everybody got to participate. And it wasn't just you coming to share with us as the expert, Kathy Adams, or as Laura Porter, the expert, right, from ACE Interface. We got to engage with you, right, because we're the experts on our own community. And I just really appreciate that. So thank you for making the space for that.
You're welcome.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you both so much for being here, and hopefully maybe we can do an update podcast in like 6 months and
yes,
talk about
to do that.
Where
yes.
we are going from here after the summer. This is so exciting. I'm so thrilled with all the notes and all the emails that I've got. If you're listening to this podcast and you'd like to reach out to KCIW, you can send us a Facebook message or send us an email. You could also email me. I'm Scott Clapson. You can email me at Scott, S-C-O-T-T, Klapson, C-L-A-P, as in Peter, S-O-N, at yahoo.com, or I'll even give my cell phone number out, 541-254-1958, if you'd like to get involved in this ACEs interface dialogue in our community and talk with us about how we can come together and do some of this self-healing work for our communities. My name is Scott Klapson. We have been here today on KCIW for Perspectives in Healthcare, talking with Kathy Adams and Laura Porter from ACEs Interface and the Self-Healing Communities Initiative, co-sponsored by Jackson Care Connect and All Care Health, two of our coordinated care organizations for Southern Oregon. We greatly appreciate all of our listeners. Thank you to both of our guests, Kathy and Laura, for being here and for the wonderful meeting and all the wonderful things that are going to be coming in Curry County and across Southern Oregon. We are a nonprofit at KCIW. We do appreciate your donations. We're going live on the airwaves very soon, but we've been talking about ways to get the word out for our podcast beyond just Facebook. So if you're interested in helping us figure that out or interested in starting your own program, contact us and we'd love to talk with you about that. Have a great day and thanks for listening to Perspectives in Healthcare.
If you are an Oregon Health Plan member, your local Community Advisory Council wants to hear from you.
I got involved because it allowed me to give back to the community.
The member voice is a key part of us understanding what people need.
My wife and I are both disabled. We wanted to become advocates for ourselves.
I wanted to be a voice for OHP members and serve as a voice for the Latino community.
Join the conversation. Contact your local coordinated care organization today.
Thank you for listening to Curry Coast Community Radio, your community-supported radio station. You can help support KCIW by volunteering your time or contributing to our capital campaign. For more information, go to our website, kciw.org. Thank you for listening.